Tonight, and we are certainly thankful that you chosen to come to be a part of our services on this Lord's Day evening. If you're visiting with us tonight, we'd like to invite you to stay with us. We're having a finger food fellowship after our services tonight, and that would give us a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk with you and get to know you better. And of course, tonight is our fellowship get together. We're going to say our farewells to Brian and Liz and James and Anna and Luke tonight, and we're excited about that. We're not excited about them leaving, but we're excited about this opportunity to be able to tell them how much we appreciate them. I know this is going to be the last time that I will be able to say anything publicly about the Wakefield family. I'm going to begin a meeting and be out of town next Sunday. Brian's going to be preaching, by the way, next Lord's Day morning, so you'll have that opportunity to hear him. But I just want to say what a joy and a pleasure it's been to have worked with Brian and Liz and to be a part of their family over the last 5+ years. They are an outstanding family. When they came here, I guess Luke was just a little bitty thing. And what? He was born here, wasn't he? That's right. She was pregnant. I was thinking about when she came to try out. So he was born here, actually. And I remember how we used to worry about him knocking his head on the corner of the desks upstairs in the office as he ran by. But he's far exceeded that now. And they've got a wonderful, wonderful children. And I admire and appreciate their work so very much. I know three of my children have had a chance to be in our youth group at some point under their guidance and leadership. Brian and Liz have a lot of strengths. There's a lot of things that I could mention about them. Brian's got a very good attitude. I think he handles the various situations that come up from time to time in a very efficient way, a timely way. I think he handles them in a very effective way. The main thing that I appreciate about them most of all, though, is their soundness in the faith. Never have to worry about what our young people are going to be taught. Our young people have grown spiritually. They know the Word of God. They know how to defend their faith. I believe they are young people who have strong convictions, not only because of their parents, but I think because of the teachings that have been instilled in them through Brian and his ministry to them. And so I'm going to miss him as a dear friend. We often would sit together, him being Auburn and me being Alabama. We would have some good discussions about recruiting and how one side was doing and how the other side was doing. And I just enjoyed our friendship, the camaraderie that was there. And I'm certainly going to miss it, and I know that you folks will miss them as well. So we wish Brian and Liz all the best, the children, as they embark on this new endeavor in their lives. I know they'll be successful in whatever they're doing. Now, they've stated that when this particular transition is over in a year and a half, that they're going to come back here and be a part of the church and work any way they can with us. I'm going to hold them to that, and I hope you will as well. So today is May the 16th. I figure by December of next year, y'all will be back in the pews here, perhaps. But anyhow, I hope you'll let them know tonight how much you really appreciate them. Tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about the need for vision, the importance of vision in the body of Christ. I want to read you something today that I saw in today's newspaper, and this is what many people in the religious world would see as true vision. This would be visionary in the eyes and in the minds of a lot of people in the religious world today. It says here, 7 years ago, the Episcopal Church caused an uproar by consecrating its first openly gay bishop. It has done the same thing again, only this time with a woman. The Reverend Canon Mary Glasspool of Baltimore was ordained and consecrated Saturday making her the secondly opening gay bishop in church history and one of the first two female bishops in the diocese of the Los Angeles 114th year history. The ceremony was at Long Beach before 3,000 people who burst into applause at the end. Church spokesman Bob Williams said, "The Reverend Canon Diane M. Jardine Bruce of San Clemente, California, was also ordained Saturday. The two women were elected last December to serve as assistant bishops in the diocese's six-county territory." Now, you know, we think that this is way out of line, and rightfully so. It's contrary to God's will. But many people see this as being visionary, becoming more diverse in our approach to the community. But when we talk about needing vision, we're talking about having a vision that God would have us to have. Seeing things as God would have us to see those things. Seeing things from a Christian perspective according to the will of God. Now, certainly it's our desire for the Lord's work to flourish. We want the Lord's work to grow. We want it to progress. And certainly I believe we need greater vision. We need greater goals, greater plans. We want to accomplish greater things in the service of our Lord. I think we recognize the opposite of vision is blindness. Now, Jesus in his day admonished many people to open up their ears that they might hear. He told many people to open up their eyes that they might see. And he was referring to their eyes from a spiritual standpoint. Now, Sister Waits doesn't know that I'm going to say this tonight, and I thought about not saying it, but we know that Sister Mary Waits, always here, always faithful, sitting in her pew, she's blind. She's blind. But I'm always, always encouraged when I stand up and we're singing the invitation song and Sister Waits has her songbook in Braille and she's following along with every line, singing to the best of her ability. Christy Hatch, I think, every Sunday morning has a list of the songs and she prepares those songs in Braille for Sister Waits. But you see, Sister Waits may be blind physically, but spiritually, she has 20/20 vision. She has her eyes on the goal. She has her focus exactly where it needs to be from a spiritual standpoint. Now, as we talk about vision tonight, we need to look at Jesus as our example. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus Christ was an individual who had vision. Jesus Christ came to this world, and as he observed people and as he beheld people, he saw folks who had a need. He saw folks who were lost. He saw people who were in need of salvation. And he said in Luke 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." He had a vision. And that vision was implemented through his teachings and his instructions to his followers. And when he left his followers following his resurrection, he told them about the Comforter that would come and guide them into all truth and bring all things to their remembrance. Jesus said, for example, in John 4 and verse 35, "Don't say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest." Jesus said, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they're white already unto harvest." What is your vision tonight, spiritually? You may wear glasses. You may wear contacts. You may need to wear glasses, or you may need to wear contacts. But spiritually, what is your vision? Do you see people who are lost? Do you see the church as God's plan, that it is to be the pillar and the ground for the truth? Is your vision God's vision? Is your vision according to God's will? Are you studying God's word that you might know what that will is? But tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some things that our vision needs. Now, certainly we need to be able to see things. We need to be able to look out and see the needs that are around us, and we need to try to meet those needs to a certain degree. There are many things specifically that we may need to see as far as things we can improve on. We need to try to do the very best job in the Lord's kingdom that we possibly can. But you know, our vision tonight, I think, needs faith as well. If our vision is going to go beyond just scope and just beyond greatness, if our vision is going to lead us to do things, it needs faith. It must act on faith. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek. Paul recognized that people were lost without the gospel. And Paul wanted the vision. He wanted others to have the vision, the faith, to make that vision a reality. Paul had faith in God. His confidence in promises that God had made helped him to accomplish a great deal for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 8, Paul said, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And notice Paul said here, there's a door. There are opportunities that have been available to me here at Ephesus. And I must stay here and I must carry out the vision that I've seen, the things that need to be done with the Lord's help, even though there's adversities that are going to be along the way. I think Paul's faith is really, really seen in his statement of Philippians 4 and verse 13, where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I need to have the right vision, but I need to understand as well that my vision needs faith. Also, I might suggest tonight that not only faith, but our vision needs boldness. It needs boldness. The Bible talks about the boldness of Peter and John, and the Bible says when the people saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, men like Peter and John and other followers of Christ, they had vision. Their vision was motivated by faith, and yet they had the boldness to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, to declare the gospel. They said, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 14 and verse 3, how Paul and Barnabas stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Paul and Barnabas had a vision. A vision that was motivated by faith, and they had a boldness in spite of adversity and persecution to speak for God, to teach the gospel. And of course, they had these miraculous signs to verify that what they were saying was in fact from God. They didn't have a Bible like we have. They didn't have a way to turn to book, chapter, and verse to verify that what they were saying was from God. We know that the proof that what they said and taught was given in the miraculous gifts that they were able to perform. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. You see, their preaching and teaching was not one of compromise. Instead, it was bold. It led people to be convicted of their wrongs. It led people to see the error of their ways and thereby give their lives to Christ by their obedience to the gospel. And we need to realize today that we need to be bold as well in our vision. We don't need to shrink back from speaking a word about the Lord or about His church. When we hear the church being ridiculed, when we hear God's word being scoffed at, we need to have the boldness to say, that's not right. We haven't got to be mean or ugly. We can certainly be kind and gentle, and yet we can be firm and bold as we take a stand for the truth and for what's right. Our vision today needs boldness. And then let me suggest tonight as we close that our vision also needs persistence. It needs persistence. We talked about Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 this morning in our lesson as we talked about sowing and reaping. And there the Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now sometimes things discourage us as we endeavor to live our lives for Christ. People can say some mean and ugly things about us. We may suffer persecution because of our faith in God. It may be that we get to the point sometimes where we wonder if it's just going to do any good at all to keep on teaching and preaching. It just doesn't do any good, it seems like. I've often wondered what kept Noah going for 120 years when nobody but his own family responded to his teaching and preaching. But you see, the Bible says that we have to do our part. We must plant. We must water. God is the one who gives the increase. A preacher many years ago gave me some advice that has always been helpful. He said, Doug, God said to preach the word. He didn't say to enforce it. And that's our job. We have to plant the seed. We have to be persistent. We can't give up on the good that we're trying to accomplish. God says, my word will not return unto me void. And so let's not give up. Let's be persistent in doing what's right. Let's make sure that our vision is according to God's will, and let's have faith that we need to have as we look out and we see a world lost in sin. Let's have the boldness that we need to speak a word for Christ, to defend the truth. And then let's be persistent, never giving up, realizing our time is short. And that great resurrection chapter, as Paul brings that chapter to a close, and he's talked about the resurrection and how it's going to be a reality. The fact that Jesus died and rose again is verification that we too are one day going to be victorious over the grave. We're going to live again. And in view of that hope of eternal life, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, the Lord's vision needs to be our vision. When the Lord looked at people, He didn't see just a rich man or a poor man. He didn't see a man or a woman as such. He didn't see somebody who was wealthy or somebody who was poor. Our Lord didn't see somebody who was of this race or of this nationality. To me, one of the most powerful statements that our Lord ever made was when he went to Samaria. And of course, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They considered the Samaritans nothing but dogs. They would go many miles out of their way just to avoid Samaria. And Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Our Lord had a vision. And his vision needs to be our vision. We need to look out and we need to see that the fields are truly ready for harvest. I hope tonight you'll think about your soul salvation. I hope that you will endeavor to make the vision of our Lord your vision. That we'll see a world that needs salvation. That we'll see a salvation as something that we need and that we need to continually strive for. If you're not a Christian tonight, salvation can be yours. It's been provided for you. If in faith tonight you're willing to repent of your sins, you can be baptized even tonight upon the confession of your faith in Him. Tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.